from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2. Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me, Jake Gaden from CBS 13.
Yes, sir.
We have spent a lot of time talking about the Sacramento Kings today, and we're probably going to do a lot more of that. And I kind of want to sidetrack you again just to mess with you.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, we've got the CeeDee Lamb situation in Dallas, and we've got the Brandon Ayuk situation here in San Francisco. And I'm just wondering, like, what do you see from these two sort of weird situations? How do you think it's all going to play out in the end?
So they're two completely different situations, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Dallas can do anything until they do something with Dak and figure out, is he the guy? Do we want to pay him this offseason? I think that starts there, and then you figure out how much money left you have for CeeDee Lamb, how much money left you have for Micah Parsons, even though the reports are that CeeDee and the Cowboys are close to a deal. But I also saw earlier in the week that Jerry Jones is in no rush to pay CeeDee Lamb, like, at all. So I think with that situation, could CeeDee get paid? Yes. Could I see him getting a top 5 contract in the NFL for a wide receiver? Absolutely. But I'm going to err on the side of caution and say this thing's not going to get done until next year, or after the season at least. Compared to Ayuk, where I think this is going to come to a head sooner rather than later. I'm of mind of this. I think Ayuk is being very strange in how he's letting this thing play out. I don't know if he's trying to make this juicier and make this more of a drama-filled type of signing of, do I want to stay with the 49ers? Do I want to go to another team? Like, I don't know how Ayuk is treating the situation, if he's taking it as seriously as it could possibly be. Because I don't know if he understands what it means to go to a bad team, coming from a team where they have Super Bowl aspirations this year, next year, and the year after that, right? That's just a different way of looking at it. So, okay, to answer your question, I think the CeeDee Lamb contract will not be taken care of until after the season, once they figure out Dak and figure out if Dak's the guy. I think Ayuk's situation is going to be taken care of hopefully within the week, and if not, I think he's traded.
Okay. I think, like, everything that I know about Brandon Ayuk is that he's not that guy. He's not the, like, crazy me, you know. He's not a typical, like, diva wide receiver. He's trying to get what he deserves, what he thinks he deserves, and what his agent thinks he deserves, what the market has proved out to be. And to me, that's okay. Like, it's okay to be out there and saying, like, look, this is, like, basically what the market is, and, like, you need to pay me accordingly. Like, my stats measure up to these players, and my stats would be even better if we didn't have all these other pieces and I got more of the pie. So I get all of that. The CeeDee Lamb situation, I think it's just such a bad look for Jerry Jones, because Like his franchise was just like valuated at $10 billion. And he's looking like such a cheap fool. Like, what are you doing? Like, nobody is enjoying your press conferences where you're cryptic and you're silly and you're like, realistically, you're coming across as like a boob. Like, what are you doing, man? You're like, take care of your business. You have one of the top two or three wide receivers in the NFL. Like, if I'm putting, again, like this year statistically, it's Tyreek Hill, number one. But number two, it's not Justin Jefferson. I would love for it to be Justin Jefferson, but Sam Darnold is throwing to him. And that's going to be a really tough, you know, tough thing for him to go out there and get 16 or 1800 yards. That's not going to happen. CeeDee Lamb is like the next dude. And it almost feels
over
like
Debo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Debo can't stay healthy and he's not a true wide receiver.
True.
And again, I would take Ayuk over Debo any day of the week. I think that you can find players that can do some of what Debo does. It's tough, like, but you can find players like that. Finding elite wide receivers is not simple. And the 49ers have not been a team that over the last, you know, couple of decades since, you know, the great years of Jerry Rice and then Terrell Owens have been able to create that type of wide receiver that goes out and gets 1,000 yards every year. And so I'm a little concerned. It's like, hey, what exactly are you guys going to do if you don't have the Ayuk situation? And I think Ayuk is playing this the right way for himself, because at the end of the day, the 49ers, if they trade him, their opportunity to go to the Super Bowl decreases. Their chance of making it decreases. And so for me, I think he does have leverage. Like he has some sort of leverage in this situation, and maybe it's created leverage, but still, I believe it's there.
Not wrong. When you look at a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown, where does he stand on your list? Like, for me, I still think he's a top three wide receiver.
He's top five. Okay. Yeah. And I don't think Ayuk is a top five wide receiver. But that doesn't matter. Like, when A.J. Brown is getting paid and when D.J. Moore is getting paid and like, every other wide receiver is getting paid.
But you.
Then, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's his career, but it makes sense for him to hold out.
But he turned down $32 million from the Patriots.
Yeah, but we don't know what that really looked like. Like, these numbers that they're throwing out there, like...
I'm good accord that it was over $30 million guaranteed.
Well, yeah, but I'd have to... Again, what is it every year? How much money is guaranteed fully over the course of the deal? And that's where, you know, having guys like Kyle that are, like, fully involved in this all the time. And, you know, we bring in guys like Chris Biederman and Nick Wagner from ESPN. Like, the guaranteed money thing is all really intriguing to me. Like, I didn't know they have to put whatever guaranteed money that is in a deal, they have to put that in an escrow account. Yeah, so if it's $165 million for a quarterback, that money drops into a bank account and sits there. It has to be it is an escrow account that sits there. So part of it is like, how much guaranteed money do the 49ers want to put out? And the range from what, again, the top wide receivers making in Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill, what their guaranteed money is like 80, 90 million bucks. But then it drops all the way down to like 55 million for the next group of wide receivers. Like, is Ayuk asking for $75 million in guaranteed money? Is he asking for, like, so there's something that we're not seeing, that we're missing, that doesn't make sense to the 49ers. The 49ers can't go out with like a $26 million offer per year in May, then watch all of these contracts go, and then expect that to be the same going rate, you know, 4 months later. Right?
You're not wrong. No, you're not wrong. You're on it.
So they have to at least, like, have come up some. So we're missing something. It's I don't think it's average salary. I think they're close there.
Incentives.
It's got to be the guaranteed money.
Okay.
And if you're him, you should be concerned about that, because I think we all understand that, like, some of these guys that don't have the guaranteed money, you know, some of the guys on this roster, whether it's Debo, whether it's Kittle, whether it's Juszczyk, whether, you know, whoever it might be, they might not be around in a couple of years.
Bosa.
Yeah, and I think Bosa will, but the rest of them who are making all this money, they're going to have to make cuts somewhere, right, when they pay Purdy. And you don't want to be, as Brandon Ayuk, you don't want to be one of the guys who are just affordable enough to get cut, you know, to not be part of the plan. And so I don't know.
Who do they pay first though? Trent or him?
I've always felt like Trent is just chilling.
Okay.
Like, I think he's home working out and like, yeah, I'll be there. Like, don't worry. I'll be there.
Just like,
I'll be there the week before, like, not, he's not going to play in preseason.
No.
Like, I'll be there, like, right at the end of preseason and...
After the third preseason game when we have that two-week ramp up until week one.
Yeah, I'll be, yeah.
I'll be there. We'll sign a guaranteed deal, call it a day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's just for him, I think it's guaranteeing, like, an extra, the money for next year or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is, 100%.
Yeah, so I think for him, like, he'll, I'm not concerned there. I believe he's doing what a lot of veterans do when they hit, like, 36, 37 years old. They're like, I'm okay with not being out there all the time.
Yeah, like, I love you guys. And I know I love being around you guys. I just don't want to go through another training camp. I've been there, done that, okay?
That, and I think at a certain point, you get to where you know you're not going to be playing. You know you're not going to be practicing all the time, and you don't want to get hurt. So it almost becomes like, hey, am I going to sit here and mentor somebody? Is that what I'm here for? Like, don't we have coaches here for that? At some point, he will be that guy, the mentor guy. But for right now, it's like he'd rather be at home and chilling and not out in the sweltering heat of California.
No, I understood.
Yeah.
We'll see how it shakes, though.
Yeah, I think the Ayuk deal does get, like, one way or another, we should know soon, but we still have, like, a month, right?
We do. I think the one thing that Nick Bosa approved last year,
that was a disaster.
You cannot wait to the final week of the off season to figure this thing out.
In my mind, that was an absolute disaster.
I do not disagree. I do not. I'm glad they got the deal done, but I am expecting Nick Bosa to have a much better start to his season than he did last year. Closer to what he did 2 years ago, where he just came on rolling because he was there. He was at practice. He was getting hit. It's football shape for anybody who's played is much different than just going to the gym for three, four hours in training for a day. Getting in football shape, getting hit, being able to catch pout balls on a by a certain guy on a...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Consistent basis is much different than just catching jugs. Like, it's a different mentality, a different feel. Simple as that.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think this is one of those situations, though, where you should have learned from your mistake.
With you would Bosa. Think.
You should have learned, because the 49ers pass rush was non-existent the first half of the season because of the holdout. It never materialized. Nothing ever worked the way it was supposed to work because he didn't look right the whole time. Mm-hmm. So, all right, when we come back, we will start breaking down.
Are you sure on this? You've teased me like for I just keep an messing hour with you. And 15 minutes right now.
We're going to tell you when the great Harrison Barnes makes his debut.
The Black Falcon. Ka-ka!
Oh, there Ka-ka! It is. We'll have that here in just a minute. I am James. He is Jake. We are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you in a minute. Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jake Gaden from CBS 13.
Hey!
Kyle Madsen, big happy birthday to our guy Kyle. He is at home, staycation this week.
I was gonna say, he didn't go to some
no,
crazy
I think he,
place?
Just like taking a break. He knows the 49ers season is about to crank up and he's going to be super busy. He knows the Kings season's right after that. Trying to take a little R&R before we get to the crazy part of the year where we're like running like chickens with our heads cut off.
I'm ready to do it though.
Yeah. Let's play a game.
Go for it.
Jake Gaden. If let's say somebody may have seen part of the schedule.
Okay.
And could tell you when specific former Kings or teams or what would you want to know? Let's just start with your first. What would you want to know about the upcoming NBA schedule that will be released today at noon?
Can I be real with you?
Yep.
The first one I want to know?
Yep.
When are we playing the Pelicans? Because I want to know when they can beat them into the ground for the first time.
Okay. So I will tell you that the Sacramento Kings, they get a bit of a break. So, you know, last year they played the Pelicans 5 times in the regular season because of the in-season tournament, mm-hmm. which is now the Emirates NBA Cup. I'm trying to get that down.
Okay. You try to say that 5 times fast on television. Okay. Yeah. I messed that up on Tuesday a couple times.
So then, like, sometimes I just call it the NBA Cup. Yeah, because
but, like, what if I want to get a free flight on Emirates?
Well, are they going to get you a free flight?
I don't know. I'm hoping. That's the reason why I'm saying I'm trying to give them free publicity. So, you know, when they say, Jake, you're so great in Sacramento. Thanks for saying our name. Here's a free flight to, you know, Saudi Arabia or whatever it may be.
I'm not sure I'm going to Saudi Arabia right now, but no. That's okay.
Yeah, one day, okay?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the good news. The good news is, as opposed to playing, because the Kings then went and played the Pelicans in the play-in game,
okay.
Right? The second play-in game where they got beat and didn't make the playoffs. So they played the Pelicans 6 times. This year, 3 times.
Okay.
They played the Pelicans a total of 3 times, from what I know. It is Saturday, February 8th in Sacramento. Then the Kings play at Dallas. And then check this out. The next 2 games at New Orleans back-to-back.
Just like last year.
They play the Pelicans 3 times in 4 games. Boom, 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 boom. Done.
Let's hope they have length by then.
Well, that's a good point because that the first time they play them is either on the NBA trade deadline or the day after the NBA trade deadline.
Let's hope they have length by
then. It is the 2025 NBA trade deadline. I'm looking this up right now as we speak. Let's see. Important dates. Important dates from the NBA. The NBA trade deadline is the 6th. So, Jake, it is possible that they will actually have more length on their roster by the time they play the Pelicans.
Wonderful. That's great to hear. That's just music to my ears.
Okay, so we got done. That is the Pelicans. Okay. Like, what else would you like to know?
Okay, a couple other ones. Is there any weird things? Like, remember how we played the Warriors last year? Like, three games? Like, all those games at the beginning of the season and then just didn't see them again? Is there anything like that this year?
Yes. The Sacramento Kings, the second game of the season, play at Los Angeles Lakers, okay, right, in October. Then in December, they play the Lakers at home on Thursday, 12-19.
Okay.
At home on Saturday, 12-21.
Okay.
And then in L.A. on 12-28. So in the first 32 games of the season, they play the Lakers four times and are done. And three of those games come during a five-game stretch in December.
Okay.
So
that's quirky.
It's quirky because you're not going to see the last 50 games of the season, you won't see a major division rival.
Isn't that good, though, for at least when you play the Lakers? Because the Lakers, I feel like, surge at the end of the year usually. LeBron starts to play.
It can be a good thing, but it can also be a really bad thing.
Yeah,
because if you have an injury,
yes,
you could have you could lose a couple of games because you have a major injury during one stretch. But then again, they could too. Mm-hmm. So I guess everyone has to play all 82 games. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I would like to see division games spaced out over the 82 games
a little bit better.
Yeah, because like first of all, they're quick. Most division games are short flights, mm-hmm, right? So the Kings play either the Lakers, the Clippers, the
Warriors.
Suns, or the Warriors. The worst flight there is what?
Phoenix.
2.5 hours, 2 hours to Phoenix,
not
whatever.
Even. It's 1.30 actually to Phoenix.
Okay, there you go. All the rest are like super either
45-minute flights.
Yeah, they're super short, right? You could pepper those in throughout an 82-game schedule. It's like, hey, we got like a little bit of a rough, hey, we need you to go on a five-game road trip, but how about we have you start your five-game road trip with a game in L.A. and then go, mm-hmm, right? So those are games where I think it would make sense, and you could space them out. I don't like that you're playing all of the games against a specific team, mm-hmm, especially we saw it last year with the Warriors. Again, with the Warriors, it was, what, the first nine games they played the Warriors three times. That made no sense at all. Like, literally, that's a car drive down the road. They could take a bus down and be...
They did.
Yeah.
They did take a bus down.
Yeah, they just... Like, it's right down the street. So why do you need to, like, have them all, like, right up front? And I guess they were trying to build off of the excitement of the previous year.
I think that's what happened there. But
I think it was, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, that felt a little bit forced, mm-hmm, right? And not only that, but I want to see what those teams look like throughout the year. Like, it's okay to play. I would also, like, if you're going to play an Eastern Conference opponent, like, have one set of games in the first half, have one set in the second half. Okay, what's next on your agenda? What else? Who else would you like to see? What else? What game would you like to potentially know about?
So I want to hold off on this. I'd like to know when HB comes back, but there's one that I care about a little bit more.
Okay.
What's the toughest stretch of the season for in your eyes in terms of maybe just not even a home or away, but just a stretch of the season that might be have potential playoff implications?
Yeah. Okay, so the Kings have two giant six-game road trips during the season.
Okay.
One of them comes really late in the year, which I've always like wondered why. So last year they made the Kings fly to the East Coast twice at the end of the season, right? That didn't make any sense to me at all. I think it hurt the Kings down the stretch.
Was that the Wizards game where they lost on the road? And Charlotte
To be honest with you, I don't have them pulled up, but
I can look it up real quick.
But they had two, yeah, I can be there in 2 seconds. They had two very specific long road trips. Not long. They had two specific. One is where they went to New York, Boston, and New York.
Yes.
Right? One, they went to like...
It was New York, Boston, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. New York, Boston, Brooklyn, right? But that's New York, Boston, Brooklyn, OKC. But then right before that, they had the Toronto, Washington, Orlando trip where they literally beat the two better teams in the Raptors and the Magic and lost the one in the middle to Washington.
Wow.
But the my point is, like, from you're talking about the last month of the season, right? The last month of the season, the Kings had two separate trips to the East Coast. This year, they have one gigantic trip to the East Coast late in the year. Like, they'll have other trips to the East Coast,
of course,
like, throughout the schedule. But they have one giant six-game road trip, and it's from March 29th to April 7th. Orlando, Indy, Washington, Charlotte, Cleveland, and Detroit. So that's the trip that our friend Jason Anderson is gonna have to go on because Chris Biederman's getting married. So,
Jason, we love you, buddy. Good luck.
Yeah, hat tip to Jason, who gets to go Orlando, Indy, Washington, and then Charlotte, Cleveland, Detroit. Not great. Okay, but that's not the tough one, Jake. The tough one is in January.
Okay.
They have a, first of all, they have a really light, and it's heavy home schedule and heavy California schedule in December. Like, they go forever without leaving the state. It feels like all the way up until like the first like week in January. But then they have this crazy from January 23rd to February 3rd, which is leading up to the NBA trade deadline, right? This is all leading up. Knicks, Nets, Philly, OKC, Minnesota.
That's going to spell out a lot about your team and what you'll need to, if you want to make a playoff run.
Yeah, like who? That's like a test. Like, who are you?
Who are you type of thing, and say, okay, this is what the moves we got to make at the deadline to compete with these teams, or we don't need to make any moves because we've beaten all these teams.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one because Brooklyn is the one team that you're looking at and saying, okay, that's a gimme.
Yes.
But it's not because Jordy Fernandez is there and going to want to give his old team a really, you know, tough game. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, like, we don't know what Philly will look like by that point. OKC, you know, is going to be really good. Minnesota is going to be really good. So that's a tough one, man. That's a six-game road trip.
It's a crazy stretch.
Like, if there's any way to go 3-3 on that trip, then you probably are an excellent team. But 100%. Expect 1-5 or expect 2-4.
That'd be,
But that's the league, right?
That's the league.
Yeah, you got to play the schedule. All right, we're
gonna take a break and then we'll come back.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll keep doing this game.
I love this game. Jake, we'll find out when Harrison Barnes, the Black Falcon, comes to Sacramento.
That's right. Maybe,
possibly.
Like, we'll predict when.
We're gonna predict what. I also want to predict, you know, how we start the season and end the season.
Okay,
and that's the other one I want to know.
There it is. All right, we're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just 1 minute. See you soon. Welcome back into the Insiders. We're in the home stretch on this Thursday. Kyle Madsen's favorite day of the week.
It's Kyle Madsen's birthday.
His favorite day of the week, and his birthday falls on it. That's like kismet. You know you're cool when that's how it works out, right?
It's only going to work out that time. Every 7 years, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah, because your birthday cycle's like that.
I think it's six, though, because of the leap year.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe
six,
I'm
right.
Wrong.
No, you're spot on with that.
It's possible Kyle could get two Thursdays in a row. That would be sweet.
That would be wild.
Kyle would be very excited.
Kyle
about that.
Would be like, oh my God.
I didn't think the one good thing is I haven't seen Kyle show up in the chatty house or anything else. He shouldn't.
He really shouldn't.
No, he is getting away, which is very good. It's very good. All right, let's continue our game. We're playing this game where Jake is going to throw out something that could possibly be on the NBA schedule, and I will prognosticate where that possibly could be, what date that could land on. What do you got for me?
Okay, the first one for you. Can you tell me when Sasha Vezenkov and Barcelona... joking.
He plays for Olympiakos.
Olympiakos, sorry, my bad. All right. Just, you know, when is Olympiakos coming over here for a preseason game?
That could be preseason.
do you know?
I would be down to watch Olympiakos. I kind of wish they'd trade for Yorgos Papayannis. Get Papa G and Sasha Vezenkov. Just bitter, angry, bitter Europeans, like, ready to
run through a wall, all right?
Stomp the game.
Hey, we had Team China here for Cali Classic. We could always make it happen.
Yeah, no, they're like, there's a lot of times when the Kings have a preseason game against a team from Europe. Maccabi Haifa, yes. There's, what's the other one? Yeah, there's plenty of times where they have actually played, but
I don't think that's on your prediction pool
today. I don't think Olympiakos is on. Sorry, and Emmy, if you're in the chat, sorry, I don't think he's coming.
I don't think he's coming. There's
back.
No Sasha's return. Okay, so with that, can you give me? I'm gonna give you throw four things out there and four different games. Can you give me Harrison Barnes' return, Davion's return, Jordy's return, and the return of DeMar DeRozan to Chicago?
Okay, so the first time that DeMar DeRozan returns to Chicago, I'm guessing is March 20th.
Okay.
It's March 20th. They have a short trip. Well, I don't know, short trip. They play the Bulls, the Bucks, and the Celtics on the road.
That's a 1-2 trip.
Are you convinced the Bucks are back? I don't know.
If Giannis is healthy.
Yeah, but the Kings have played that team. They've played Giannis pretty tough. Like, over the course of time, they've played that team pretty strong.
Okay.
I'm not, like, that's not a team where you're like, oh, man, you just can't beat them. I mean, I
still think of Giannis of 2 years ago when he won the, or how many, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago they won the NBA championship? 4?
Yeah, it's been longer than I think you think. Yeah. Okay. Plus, you know, there's always the bad blood there. We had the Greco-Roman wrestling move by Trey Lyles on Brooke Lopez. Plus, like, they're aging very quickly, the Bucks are. And, like, that's a problem for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to work that out, but, you know, when you go out and you trade for an aging shooting guard and your center's 34, 35, and Chris Middleton is, he looks like he's 38, 39, like 50, even if he's, I think, 32, 33, mm-hmm. still it hasn't been great for him. So DeMar DeRozan will, I believe, make around March 20th, he will make his return to Chicago, which they'll do the full video and everything.
Oh, sorry. They'll celebrate him for a bit.
I think so. Okay, so what was the other one?
Harrison Barnes.
Okay, so the first trip back to Sacramento for Harrison Barnes looks like, if I'm like guessing, it's right around December 1st.
Okay, so a little Thanksgiving.
Post-Thanksgiving. And plus, like,
ho-ho-ho, holiday spirit type time.
I mean, I think that's going to be one of the best receptions that we've seen from a former King coming in.
By far. I think it'll be better than... Okay, question. Do you think it'd be better than Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield's return?
Yeah, okay, so they booed Buddy the whole time.
We knew this because Buddy talked.
Yeah,
because
Buddy, you know, talked his game.
Yeah.
That's
Buddy, though.
He made a decision. Yes. He made a decision.
Business decision.
You know what, though? Tyrese Halliburton made his decisions, too, and was, like, a little odd there for a while with Sacramento. Hopefully he's, like, moved past that. But I think Harrison Barnes, this will be, like, a celebration of Harrison Barnes.
I hope so. The man deserves it.
Yeah, and I also think that team that they're playing, like San Antonio, I don't think they're going to be great this first year, this year with Wimby. They have the potential, like, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, to be like a contender, I believe, because he's so good. But for me, like, right now, I think you're still looking at them as like a team that is a year or two or maybe even three away from being like a high-end playoff team. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. But either way, I think it'll be a sellout because everyone wants to see Victor Wembanyama, which, if you do come to that game, get there way, way, way early. Because
I mean, so early. It's so much fun watching him warm up.
He warms up forever.
Yes.
And you're just sitting there like, I cannot believe how big he is.
Especially with like how low his hands are to his like waist and everything like that. You're the length there. You're like, that's a human being.
Yeah, and he still takes a bunch of bad shots in warmups. He hasn't like figured out like a routine yet. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till he stops taking bad shots. When he stops taking bad shots, like, he probably will be the best player in the NBA.
No doubt. No doubt whatsoever.
So like right now, shot selection, a little forced, a little all over the place, but still.
Trying to do too much a little bit.
Yeah, I think Harrison Barnes, like, that's going to be a big one. This is probably, I think it's the longest tenured King that I can remember outside of, like, in my time covering the team, DeMarcus.
I was going to say, I think you're on spot on with that.
Yeah, I don't think, okay, so Jason Thompson is the all-time leader in games played for the Kings. De'Aaron Fox, I believe, can catch him this year. Mm-hmm. And Harrison Barnes wasn't that far behind. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a player, but like as far as like a player leaving and coming back, I think this is probably one of the longest tenured players that I've covered, like the whole his whole career. Like Jason Thompson came in, what, 2008, I believe, and I didn't cover his first couple of years. Mm-hmm. But I think I had 4 years of Jason Thompson. 3.5, 4 years. Yeah. So I think he's going to get a huge ovation.
Davion?
Yeah. Davion. Early in the season. Toronto rolls through, I believe, somewhere around November 6th.
Just around there.
Around then. Somewhere okay. around November 6th.
Okay.
So that's probably like first week and a half of the season.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still think he gets a good reception.
I think he should get a good reception. Like, I always said, like, he's a good kid. Mm-hmm. He's a hard worker. Like, yes. It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And it can work out for him in Toronto, I hope. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of young guards there, so you kind of get worried that he might get lost with Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett and some of the other guys that they have there. They also have Grady Dick. Like, there's a possibility that he gets a little bit lost there, but I think that that's a perfect type of team. I think it's a team that, you know, has taken guys like Fred VanVleet Kyle Lowry and turned them into, helped like develop them into like that type of player. And I think Davion could be one of those guys. He's got to hit his shots and he's got to take advantage when he gets opportunities, but I think he's a good little ball player. Mm-hmm. He was a square peg in a round hole in Sacramento, unfortunately for him. What else you got?
Okay, I got three more for you. So one, I want Jordan Fernandez. Do you know when the Nets possibly make their way over here?
That's a tough one. Let me consult my...
Consult your thing.
My crystal ball. Let's see. Jordy Fernandez, I believe, will be in Sacramento right around Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Right around November 24th, Brooklyn comes in to Sacramento, it appears. And again, this is one of those weird stretches in the schedule where the Kings play a lot of home games.
I say, is that the longest home stretch?
No, but they do. In this stretch, they play 6 out of 7 in Sacramento. And the one game that they don't play in Sacramento is the first game that they'll play at Intuit Dome. Los Angeles.
That's fun.
So again, like
I'm excited. I want to go there. I really, that's a bucket list this year.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to do that trip too. There's a couple of early stints in the season where the Kings play a lot of games either at home or in California, not only in November, but also, you know, we're talking about from, you know, right around the early December, the first week of December. We don't know what's going to happen with the in-season tournament. But they, from like right around December 8th until I want to say January 6th, so almost a month, they don't leave the state of California.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so lots of games against the Lakers, lots of games at home. And then their biggest homestand, from what I know, comes on the leading into their second long road trip.
Okay.
So they have a 7-game homestand in March.
And then
a 6-game road trip after that. And then they come home to finish with 3 games at Golden One Center.
Okay.
So
that was the second to last one. So my last one is this. NBA national televised games, because we care about this a lot, okay, here in Sacramento, because sometimes we don't feel like we get the love that we deserve.
It's about respect, right?
It's a respect thing. How many times, because as a TV guy, I care about this thing. I want to know when I'm going to be on the bright lights and bushy-tailed and know when, you know, TNT rolls into town.
Yep.
You know, we bring out the good suits for those days. I don't know if
Or at least a good shirt and the good jacket. Maybe you wear shorts. But...
Yeah, and I have the shoe game is on 100, okay? Especially if, you know, ESPN's here, okay? There's a certain ESPN crew that I really like.
Okay.
So how many NBA national televised games do we possibly have?
Okay, so I'm going to leave this one open.
Okay.
I think the final schedule, we're going to have to wait and see. But As for right now, it looks like the Kings have gone from 22 nationally televised games last season to start, right? When the schedule came out, there were 22. I think they gained two and lost one last year, I think. And it's possible they just gained two and didn't lose one. The year before, I know they lost. They only had like three nationally televised games and they lost one of them, the Houston game.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's all the way down to seven as of right now. But I don't think that that's the actual number. I think that we might see more.
And when you say seven, is that seven including NBA TV or is that
it
just...
It includes NBA TV. And I think they only, as of the last time I saw some notes on the schedule, they only had one NBA TV game.
Okay.
So the others are ESPN or TNT.
I'm not happy about that, James. Can I be royalty on that?
I'm going to guess it like...
It goes up to like double digits?
I think it will go into double digits. And I don't think it'll be like they add a game here or there during the season. Yeah. I think when we see an official schedule,
yeah,
I'm going to guess that there's more games because... They're not on national television the first 40 games of the season.
So you think the back half might...
No, they're not.
Oh, yeah.
In the first 40 games of the season, they're not on national television.
So what do you...
From what I've seen, okay. But that doesn't mean that that's going to be the end
result. Okay.
Yeah, I think it can still change.
Okay. I just think this is a team that doesn't get enough love nationally, and because of that, I think that's reflected in how it's reported on.
Yeah, I think it's really tough, too, that if they don't have nationally televised games in the first half of the season, that really puts your stars at a disadvantage for All-Star Game.
No.
Like, for fan voting, for media voting.
I'll be real with you. I don't think they care if they're going to the All-Star Game. Everything that Domas and De'Aaron has talked about.
I don't think they care, but they do. Because, and I'll keep saying this. Like, you know how close Sabonis is to a Hall of Fame like credentialed career?
Very close.
Like, it's super close. And there's going to come a point here where he's going to have a tough time making all-star teams, right? And it's not because of who he is. It's because Victor Wembanyama exists.
Yeah.
And plays the same position.
Yes.
And so you're going to have that problem. You're going to have the problem Anthony Davis gets voted in almost every year. You're going to have the problem that Nikola Jokic is a three-time MVP and he plays your position. So there's going to come a point. And
Chet Holmgren.
He didn't make the All-Star team last year, as far as Sabonis, but there's a big difference. Yeah, Chet Holmgren, another guy. But Chet, I think, he's more of a forward still, especially with them going out and getting...
Harkinstein.
Yes. Okay, so Sabonis, at this point in his career, though, he's made three All-Star teams, and he's made two All-NBA teams. He's super close. Like, you get up to three, four All-NBA teams, you get up to four, five All-Star teams, you all of a sudden have a really solid case for a Hall of Fame career. And I don't know if that's going to be the case for Sabonis, because the other aspect is you're going to have to win playoff games. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about a guy who's led the NBA in rebounding 2 years in a row. We're talking about a guy who's finished in the top eight in MVP balloting 2 years in a row. You know, who's actually got... You know, he's an All-NBA player. So I'm intrigued to see, like, it does matter. Like, making All-Star teams and making All-NBA teams, like, at some point, your career, in my assessment of players, your career should, you reach a certain point in your career where you're like, I'm this good.
Mm-hmm.
But shouldn't your goal be to do two things? Number one, win a title. And number two, yeah, it looks like they might score a run. The A's might score a run.
Tie the game? No. Gunned out the plate. No! Safe at the plate!
But he missed home plate. Now he's going to be out?
No, I think they called him safe.
Oh, this is wild. How did they tie the game?
That's what I'm saying.
This was 5-0.
No, that's what I'm saying. All in a segment.
We've had this game on, and nothing's happening.
I just love James that loves watching baseball with me. I love watching baseball.
I love watching baseball, too. We have not been watching. We knew that the Mets were up 5-0, and then all of a sudden...
It's like, oh!
Hey, look at this. We got Damon Barling. Damon Barling, everybody.
A's baseball, baby. A's baseball. Let's go.
It's going to be here in Sacramento in a year. Less than that.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I don't think he got him, and I don't think he hit the plate, either.
No. I don't think he hit the plate, so...
Now I think he's out.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I'll be interested. Have they ruled that yet or no?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it looks like he missed the plate.
Yeah, it looks like he missed the plate.
plate.
Yeah, I'm excited for A's baseball for sure.
We got to play at the plate.
Aaron Judge is going to hit like a 400. He's going to hit the Tower Bridge next year.
Oh, come on, man.
Completely missed the plate.
Come on, bro. And then you didn't even scramble.
Shane, Langoliers.
Someone's going to be riding their jump bike next to the Rivercats Park, and Aaron Judge's going to hit home run. He's going to hit someone.
No, but I truly think it's going to hit Tower Bridge. Like, I think he's going to have that much of a bomb next year. I think if the wind's going out.
I think we've spent so much time, like, marveling, and rightfully so, over Shohei Ohtani that we have not given Aaron Judge his just due. Like, what he's doing is pretty crazy.
300, baby, last night.
Like, he's a monster.
We talked about it earlier today. Like, he's got, like, 180-plus home runs in the last 4 years.
Wow.
He could easily hit 60 again this year.
Mm.
Easily. He's at 43 with, like, 35, 37 games left.
If they pitch to him.
I don't want to say this, but it's horrible, but that was so Jeremy Giambi-esque. Bro, slide. Like, what are we doing? You're the catcher. Like, you
Shane's
know.
Shane's a catcher, too.
Get,
that's
get back to home plate, man. Yeah. What are you doing? So, anyway. Hi, how are you?
Good.
You ready for it?
Insiders. 10 minutes
from now. It's dropping. NBA
yeah,
schedule.
The schedule release. Haven't seen it. Have no idea what it's going to say.
We're playing a little bit.
We've been prognosticating here. I don't know what you're talking about.
We've been playing a lot of look into the crystal ball and see what actually ends up happening.
You guys are adorable. James works very differently than I do.
I know. Like, it's, just
we're,
say.
We're just different. James put a tweet out last night because James is a newsbreaker. I get alerted when James tweet. It legitimately made me laugh out loud. I just love you, James. We're just very different in how we approach this. But yes, 10 minutes. Can't wait to see what the schedule says.
Can't wait to see it. Is there any game you're looking forward to that I could possibly tell you where it might be in the schedule?
You know, I was... No. Like, not really. Like, I was trying to think of that yesterday. There's not. Like, I know there's always, like, excitement for when the Warriors come and when the Lakers, you know, get here and you get the stars. That's dope. I'll always be excited for that. But, like, I don't think it's just in Sacramento. I don't think there's a lot of, like, league-wide, like, emotional games. Like, you have Clay's return to Golden State, which is going to be a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really buying Paul George's return to Los Angeles to really being a big deal.
No.
The Celtics and the Warriors are going to have a little bit of intrigue, I think, because of the Steve Kerr, Jason Tatum dynamic. That's probably a smidge bit overblown. But it will... Get some cameras, right? Pre-game handshakes and all of that stuff. But really, like, no. Like, I want the season to get here. I want to see how this team plays with DeMar DeRozan. I want to see how they, you know, answer the call from last year where they just, you know, injuries aside at the end, and injuries are a really easy excuse for everybody. They're an easy excuse for Sacramento. Not that I think that they're making one, and they're an easy excuse for all of us as we look to defend the team. But the fact is that team, even when Malik was in the lineup and when Kevin Herter was in the lineup, they never had their footing. Like, they were slipping and sliding all season long, and we couldn't figure, yo, who is this? Like, what's going on here? And so how do they respond to that? How does Kevin Herter respond? Like, that's not tied to one specific game. I'm anxious for the season to get here and to see what they look like. And they're going to be tested right out of the gate with Minnesota.
I think that stretch you're talking about right before the deadline where they're on the road for a couple games, that's the testing stretch.
Six games, and it's just brutal.
Before the deadline?
Yeah, right.
That's tough. Like, those being on the road before the deadline, I think is really tough.
Yeah.
It's going to tell you what they end up doing at the deadline, too, which will be interesting.
Well, Adam, we talked about it. Even the one gimme game, it's not because it's Jordy. You're going to Brooklyn, and Jordy's going to want to stick it to you the best he can, and unless you steal a couple of his players, like, right at the deadline.
Yeah, what if Cam Thompson?
Thomas.
Cam Thomas, yeah.
I do that all the time.
Well, I mean, he's just a mad chucker.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to know he's going to get up 25 shots to score 27.
Yeah,
there's – I noted that the – you know, that they open with five of seven on the road. And, you know, a lot of people were like, well, good, you know, get those home games late. But then you look at the end of the schedule, and I think six of their final nine are on the road. So we looked at the schedule last year, and I was like, I know it's not possible that they have more than 41 home games. But for some reason, looking at this schedule, it feels like they have more than 41 road games. And I'm just looking at this like, there's a big, like, cluster of road games right here. There's a giant cluster over here. They're home for the holidays. I think they got like 4 or 5 at home around Christmas or so.
They go a month in December.
Potentially, if I had seen the schedule.
There's a month in December, like almost a month in from December to early January where they don't leave California.
Yeah, Kenny caught that yesterday.
But there's another 10-game stretch in November where they do the same thing.
And that's good, right? Yeah. Like that, like
same time zones.
Yeah, easy road trips in terms of travel wise. You've got you've got difficult teams to face for sure. But in terms of travel, like that's a stretch you'll take.
And I'll say this: I think the LA trips are going to be much easier than they have been. Let's just put it that way. In terms of talent, with at least
the Clippers. Yeah, Clippers are going to look a lot different. Yeah, Clippers are gonna.
Warriors. That's another good question.
I think we might be writing off the Clippers a little bit too much. Maybe they're not a championship contender, but I'm not. They're not the Blazers.
No,
you know what I mean. Like that. I don't know what they are. To be completely honest with you, because if Kawhi is there, I still think that's a. I think it's a good basketball team to a potentially really good basketball team. I'm a huge fan of Ty Lue. I think he's a fantastic coach, and I refuse to write them off until I see something that allows me to write them off. I just can't have a conversation about them being title contenders. That's the only thing that I don't feel like I can do.
No, I put them in the same bucket as I do the Warriors and the Lakers. I just put them in that bucket of teams that are aging stars, and they're good, but they're not great anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to wrap this thing up. What do you guys got about 10 seconds? What do you got coming up?
10 seconds. I don't know, man. It's August 15th. I don't know. We're going to crack the mics and we're going to talk. The schedule is going to come out. The Giants play here in a little bit. We'll have some fun. That's all I know.
All right. Stay tuned for D'Lo and Casey. We are the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Thanks, Jake Gayden.
Thanks for having me on, buddy, as always. Appreciate you.
Thanks for coming in.
As always.
We'll see you tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.